In January of this year, The Weekly Green interviewed David Stone, inventor of a new type of iron-based cement, which, unlike regular cement, does not require a considerable amount of heat to produce, but even absorb CO2. The compound also binds readily with glass, which increases its stress tolerance by a magnitude. By a serendipitous turn of events, David met Richard Pablo at the Hono O'odham, who was tasked with collecting the tremendous amounts of discarded bottles on the reservation, and the two of them teamed up to further develop this cool concrete called Ferroc. Richard is with us in the studio now. Welcome, Richard.
Glad to be here.
How did you meet David?
How did I meet David Stone? I had just come into going to community college over there at TOCC, Thon Autzen Community College. I was there almost a semester before a lady, Jane Latanay. She works for the school too, and she knew that I was in my sobriety a few months, maybe even less than a year, and she asked me if I wanted a job. She knew this guy that worked with glass. She knew that tribe had problems, but she didn't know that there was a lot of glass over there on the reservation.
Is the glass on the reservation, or is it just outside the reservation?
It's on the reservation. But lately, most of it's cleaned up. There was a lot of sites, party sites. When I was asked to work with David, I kind of was standoffish about it at first because it kind of seemed embarrassing, but it was a job. And I thought about it, and I said, oh, might as well, huh? They're going to pay me. But initially, she thought we were coming to Tucson to pick up glass from the city dump. But there was glass out there and different sites on the reservation, and it seemed almost impossible to clean. I think a lot of it had to do with years and years of historical trauma. Maybe at first, start drinking just to think it's cool or it's the thing to do. But after a while, you begin to lose control or understanding about it. And then it just becomes an addiction. And it gets out of control. But my initial thought was just to pick up the glass.
And there's quite a lot of it.
There was quite a lot of it.
David told me that it goes back generations, these piles.
Yeah, those piles, they went back generations. And we started picking it up, and it almost seemed impossible.
Did you start picking it up before you met David?
No, after. I had a truck, and I had just asked him for some gas money, and he had a fund set aside for it that was given to us by the EPA. So she just gave me like $60 right off the bat. I figured she'd pull it out of that fund, and I was like, oh, cool. So I put it in my tank, and I just went not even 3 miles and pulled in the back of the desert, and it's just a old party site. And I just started picking up glass. And David was there with me, and he was surprised at the amount of glass that was out there. I remember he was just almost ecstatic. I just kind of thought it was a lot of work, but we filled the truck up fairly quick.
Did you have anybody helping you?
No, it was me and David at first by ourselves. Then they hired another one, Lucy Garcia, and she was helping me. It was kind of awkward because when I first met David, he had some screen and he had just some screen. He was trying to tell us to make something out of that screen. And he put like 6 bricks in a circle, and I was watching him, and I was wondering what he was doing. And then I figured he started breaking it up. Over the amount of 2 years, we're breaking it by hand. We made a tamper, and I got like 40, 50 bricks and built a big old square against a wall and put a big old iron slate on the wall so we'd break them in there.
You threw them up against the wall?
Yeah.
The bottles.
And the bottles. And then I'd stand inside there and I'd tamp it for hours. And then we'd have a sifter and we started sifting at different levels. And after 2 years, we got a glass crusher and we just feed it. And it comes out in 3 sections.
3 sizes.
Yeah, 3 sizes. One's like sand, then one's like gravel, and then the next one's like shards. The gravel, you can even throw it out on the circus and walk on it and it won't cut you. Out of that whole time, I think I only got a little sliver, maybe twice, in my hand.
It can be nasty to breathe it, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's that, and then even the steel, the dust, but we have masks.
And then the pulverized glass binds with David's compound and makes it really strong?
It binds. The flexural strength is stronger when you're dealing with maybe even earthquakes.
The other great advantage over regular concrete like Portland cement is that it's a cold process. There is no heat involved.
Yeah, it just binds itself by itself. And it's all like waste. Either that or they throw it in the dump. But I think it's kind of better building something with it.
How is it to work with David, coming from such a different background?
It was interesting. It's a cartoon, but it has to do with him science. He has a lot of connections, and he's introduced me to a lot of people. He's taught me a lot about science.
He got you interested in geology?
He asked me if I wanted to take the geology class, and I actually really liked it, learning about the crystals and different elements. I enjoyed myself, but back to me and David. We've been working together, he says, 7-8 years. I can't even think about it being that long. And time just flew by, but it actually flew by in a good way.
What are you building right now?
We're building a roundhouse, an underground roundhouse. It's 4 feet in the ground, and the walls are ferrite and glass. It's got a dome on top, too. We built that under a USDA grant, and it has to do with climate change. He said he wants to drive a forklift up there and see how much strength it takes. But right now it's only like maybe 2 inches thick, but he wants to turn it into like 6 inches.
Do you pour it like regular concrete?
We poured it on there and then we just kind of troweled it on. He wants to put a liner in there like a conduit, like a snake all on top, and then pour another layer on top of that. And then run gas in there, CO2 gas. And it already has CO2 gas with the walls that are inside the ground. 3 pipes running through all the way around. We put water in there, and the pipes have holes in there, so it lets out the gas.
And then it binds to the ferroque.
It binds to the ferroque. Then we cover the whole thing with plastic, and then we let some gas in there.
And the plastic is to cap the gas, basically.
Yeah.
How do you see the future with the ferroque? How do you see this develop?
My concern was really just to clean up the glass, but with the ferroque, I could see it go if we had money and we had people putting in funds in it to experiment with it.
Could private people donate to the cause in some way?
I hope so.
How?
You'd have to get a hold of David Stone through the community college and turn it into a business. The U of A was working with it for a while and they got it to where it's really light too.
David said you can bubble it so that it's not so massive.
He's got all different kinds of ways of working with it. I just provide the labor and put it in, cleaning up the res.
You came quite far cleaning up the res. It's almost gone, you said.
Yeah, it's almost gone. And right now we sit with EPO working on the recycling.
Do you feel that it makes a difference within the tribe that it's clean now?
I hope so. A lot of the communities right now, we have different sites where they bring the trash, and then we have recycling places where they can bring the bottles, they can bring the cardboard, they can bring the plastic. Now, working within the tribe, yeah, I think it's really nice that EPO has those extensions to work with the tribe. Just look better and be more cleaner.
If you run out of glass on the reservation, what are you going to do?
They can use rock, too. And to mix it in, and it probably come out just as strong or even stronger.
David told me you say a prayer with every bottle you collect. Is
that
true?
I guess that's the way he sees it. I say every prayer every day I get up, but in the process of cleaning it up, it just made me think about a lot of the historical trauma and the effects of how alcohol has kind of floored a lot of indigenous people.
Is it still that way, or is it getting less, do you think?
I think it's getting less. There's a lot of good things going on in the communities, not only on Tonawatam, but in a lot of different nations.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for letting me come in and speak on behalf of the Ferroque.